Chapter 4. The Pig Hunt. Jack began to dread Sunday night dinners. It was bound to be Good Luck's turn on the menu soon. The pig no longer came trotting after him, it was true, for Jack had tied up the pen to make it an escape proof, but the porker remained in his mind, if not at his heels. And then, with Rio de Janeiro only a few days away, Jack saw the cook leave the galley with a heavy meat cleaver in his hand. "Good grief," thought Jack. "He's going after Good Luck." Without a second thought, Jack went sliding down the nearest ladder, and when the cook arrived at the animal's pens, the porker was gone, and so was Jack. "It was that boy," he shouted, waving the meat cleaver. "Pigs are for eating, not for pets." Soon, even the gold seekers joined in the pig hunt, for the promise of fresh pork made their mouths water. They looked above decks and below decks. They glanced up the masts and down the ventilators. The cook himself went searching through the cargo hold with Monsieur Gaunt, a Frenchman in the rough homespuns of a farmer, was watering his precious grape cuttings. "Have you seen the pig down here?" growled the cook.
"No, monsieur," answered the Frenchman. "But rats! Oui!"
The chase continued, and the pig hunters looked everywhere but the captain's stateroom, which was fortunate, for Jack and Good Luck were hiding behind the open door. Not a sound out of you," Jack whispered. The pig snorted out of sheer love, rubbing his ever-fattened side against Jack's leg. "Shh!" Just then, the captain himself could be heard approaching along the passageway, but when he entered the cabin, there was no sign of the pig or the boy. He hung up his blue cap and yawned and took a nap. When he was sound asleep, Jack and Good Luck crept out from under the bunk where they had hardly room to breathe. Jack looked around, wondering what to do next. It seemed hopeless, but he wasn't going to deliver up the porker to the cook without a battle. Leaning his bristled back against Jack's leg, the pig grunted a loud word of endearment and almost woke the captain. Jack's breath caught in any port in the storm. In a storm, he told himself and ran, and he made a beeline towards his own cabin with Good Luck trotting along behind. At that moment, Mountain Jim happened along the passageway, and the pig went through his bowed legs. If any gold seeker had joined in the hunt, others considered it a sport to outwit the cook. Mountain Jim merely turned to give Jack a wink and went on his way. Once in the cabin, Jack stopped short. Dr. Buckby was stretched out for a nap and snoring loudly. Moving on his toes, Jack approached his hammock, and he would wrap Good Luck in a blanket and hid him in the hammock. But when Jack turned, his breath caught again, and the porker had his two front hooves on Dr. Buckby's bunk and had leaned his head closer to see what all the snoring was about. The horse doctor woke, and he found himself staring into the strange grunting face, thinking he was being set upon by bank robbers, for he was more asleep than awake. He began to blow on his tin alarm trumpet. Jack was horrified. The trumpeting sounded like a sick elephant. It would bring the entire ship.
"It's only us, Dr. Buckby,"
Jack cried, but he couldn't be heard over the blare of the horn. There was no way out of the cabin but the door. It was too late for that. Quickly, Jack got his arm around Good Luck and climbed onto the sea chest and tried to stuff the porker through the brass porthole, but Good Luck got stuck halfway in and halfway out. Jack put his shoulder in the job, but it was no use. "You're done for now," exclaimed Jack, praiseworthy, hearing the alarm of the trumpet was the first in the cabin.
"What is this?" he said, sizing up the situation quickly. "A pig in a porthole?"
"Have you seen the cook?" asked Jack desperately. He was still pushing against the pig's fat rump.
"A few paces behind," said Praiseworthy, opening his black umbrella. "Step aside, Master Jack."
When the cook entered, together with several gold seekers, there was no pig to be seen. Praiseworthy had taken up the position directly in front of the porthole, with his umbrella blocking the view.
And then Dr. Buckby had stopped trumpeting. "Robbers," he said, "trying to take my map. I almost caught one of them, a big fellow with fat cheeks."
"A mere dream," said Praiseworthy. The cook raised his meat cleaver again.
"There's the boy. Where's the pig?"
"Pig?" said Praiseworthy. "What pig?"
"He's got it," said Praiseworthy, turned to Jack.
"Pig? Pig? Master Jack, do you turn your pockets inside out? Our chef seems to think that you have a pig about you."
The gold seekers began to laugh. "There's no robber in here. A pig either. Come on, boys."
But the cook turned at the door, squinting at Praiseworthy. "It's none of my business," he said, crossing his fat arms.
"But do you even stand under that umbrella indoors?"
"This cabin leaks shamefully," answered Praiseworthy.
"But it's not raining."
"One can never be too careful in these latitudes," said the butler.
"Good day, sir."
The cook left, shaking his head, and Praiseworthy folded the umbrella, and when Jack glanced back at the porthole, his eyebrows jumped an inch. The pig had vanished.
"Look," Jack gasped. "He's gone! He's gone!"
"I declare," said Praiseworthy in genuine surprise. Jack stuck his head through the porthole and looked around. There wasn't a soul in sight, or a pig either. Jack left the cabin and ran on the deck, where he found Mountain Jim seated in an overturned barrel, and said, "Oh, Susanna," on his mouth organ.
"Have you seen the black pig, sir?"
asked Jack out of his breath.
"Seen him?"
the mountain man grinned.
"Why, boy, I'm sitting on him."
And he tapped the side of the barrel with his harmonica. Jack wiped the sweat from his forehead and began to smile.
"Thank you, Mountain Jim, sir. The porker was safe, at least for the time being."
"I thought I'd never see bear grease to get him out of the porthole. Sit down, Jack, boy, and we'll do a bit of singing to pass the time, and I'll learn you how to trap a grizzly. A boy your age needs all the educating he can get."
Jack seated himself beside the mountain man on the top of the barrel. Soon he was singing in the windy accompaniment of the mouth organ, downing any sort snorts or grunts of protest from the pig. "Oh, Susanna, don't you cry for me. I'm going to California with a washbowl on my knee."
When the cook passed, Mountain Jim lifted his yellow bobcat cap with one big hand and went on playing the harmonica with the other. After dinner and well after dark, Jack returned for the pig. A few feet away stood a small stern boat with a canvas thrown over it. He waited until after deck was clear of passengers, and then he lifted the barrel, gave the porker a hug, and shoved him up over the gunwale of the boat.
"Done," he said, straightening out the canvas. He supposed the cat and mouse game of the cook and pig was doomed, but he wasn't going to give up.
"Good night, good luck," he whispered.
The pig replied with a snort in true love and began scratching his back on the underside of the boat seat. Sunday passed without a roast pork for dinner, and followed the Lady Wilma anchored off the green coast of Brazil. With